Hello, everybody, and welcome. It is time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 292. How are you? You look fantastic. I'm so happy to see you again. I've just been so worried about you. I got a call, and I didn't know what to think, and I was afraid to call you, and I know that's bad. I should have just called, and I didn't, and I'm sorry. It's just, you're here, and I'm so happy to see you. So happy everything worked out. If you need anything, please do not hesitate to call me. Seriously, I will be there as soon as I can in any form to be there to help you. Welcome to today's episode. Some fun things to talk about. As per usual, it's Dilla Day. It's the birthday. Should be the 50th birthday of J. Dilla, J.D., John Doe, James DeWitt Yancey. Probably the most influential beatmakest producer man ever. We don't have a lot of modern day hip hop if we don't have J. Dilla. It is his birthday. He should have been 50. He was taken from us far too young in 2006 or 2007. I'm not the best with dates. I apologize. This episode, I'm going to be listening to Donuts, one of my favorite albums. One of my favorite albums by him, a masterpiece in instrumental hip hop. That's in the background for today. Welcome to the show. That's enough for the intro. So what I got to talk about first is something really, 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 really interesting. Something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and something that if you go back, it's an episode with me and Kyle. I called this. I said this was going to happen, and Kyle looked at me and he said, "Poppycock, balderdash." A third thing from the 1800s that they would have said that sounds ludicrous. Microsoft has plans to put everything that they have made onto PlayStation. They want to make a portal for them to put all of their stuff on another console. And let me see what I have here. I got a couple links from Kyle, but also just the Discord in general, I have to see. While we're here, while I'm looking for these notes real quick, why don't you go ahead and join the Discord? If you'd like the show in any capacity, go ahead and check it out. There is a link in the description below. Mr. Tom Flood even put it in. It was a tweet from GameSpot, at GameSpot on Twitter. My Xbox and PC platforms exclusivity for games from Microsoft's first party studios could be coming to an end, and it talks about how Indiana Jones might be coming to the PlayStation 5. Because why not just make every single dollar? I used to listen to this PlayStation podcast a year ago, maybe a little more, and they would always talk about how Minecraft was one of the top selling games of the month on PlayStation, and PlayStation 5 doesn't have its own native Minecraft. It has the PS4 Minecraft that you can like emulate backwards compat type deal, type beat Johnson play, where you have Minecraft on your PS5, even though it's the PS4 version, and PlayStation didn't want to hand over how their tech works, so Microsoft couldn't build a better console. I just watched something recently. It was just a quick little video on Instagram, so there was no fact-checking on it. I don't know if any bit of it is true, but this one thing I watched, the guy's like, they've never made a dollar. Microsoft has never made a dollar off a console, made all their money from software. So, okay, let's say there's 50 million PlayStation 5s and 10 million Xbox Series X and S's combined out there. If they're going to make any money, they're going to make it on the software. They're going to make it on all the games. So this means, Kyle sent me something else, that Microsoft plans on putting Gears of War onto... They plan on putting Gears of War onto PlayStation. If you would have told me when I was in high school they want to put Gears of War on PlayStation, I would have called you a dirty liar. Right here, from Culture Crave, Microsoft is reportedly looking into bringing Gears of War to the PlayStation 5. He also sent me the same thing from Wario64, Xbox Era. Microsoft plans Starfield launch for the PlayStation 5, post the release of the already announced Shattered Space expansion for Xbox and PC. Microsoft have made additional investments into PlayStation 5 dev kits support to ongoing development efforts. Why not make every dollar possible? We are in the late stages of capitalism. The world is slowly but surely coming to a burning fiery end. Why not take every single dollar they can? There's something that I read recently, or I watched recently. It was about a guy who opened up a used game shop, an indie used game shop, that was One of my cables is messed up. I'm not going to mess with it because I have the camera the way I like it. Video games are pretty much recession-proof, and I've heard this before. During the 2008 recession in the United States with the housing crisis, one of the few things that continued to sell was video games, because people want entertainment, they want escapism. The best drug you could supply a person is escapism. It's nostalgia. I've said it before. I think I said it recently, but I've said it before and I will say it again. Good pussy and some nostalgia couldn't kill a man. Could absolutely do a fella in. Could kill a woman too. I don't know what you're into. I don't care. And while we're talking about people liking things, this is like the analogy that I came to. It does not matter what you are playing as long as you are playing games. I was reading some things, I was watching some YouTube videos about this, and I see comments that are like, so does that mean PlayStation won the console war? Not really. The console war was never a thing. The console war was about as real as East Coast versus West Coast hip hop back in the 80s and the 90s, because none of it was real. It was the media portraying it in a certain way. Do you want to see who's responsible for the console wars? Go to IGN. Go to GameSpot. Go to GamesRadar. Go to these video game outlets. Even as much as I love it, as much as it's near and dear to my heart, as much as it's the reason why this show exists in some capacity, in any capacity, in a large capacity today, G4. Giant gaming outlets. Because if there's anything that we've learned from the Trump administration, from before that, from anything, what's going to keep you invested is hatred. What's going to keep you invested is you being upset. So if you can see something that gets you upset, you're going to continuously look into it and look into it and look into it, and you fall deeper down into a hole. So this is where we are now. We are at a point where the console wars might finally be coming to an end. And I think it's funny that at the end of it, we have Nintendo, who have not changed the way they are. They want to be the old man at the table, and that's fine. It works for them. They sell billions of dollars in games and hardware every year. And now you have Sony, who is sticking in some capacity. I would not be surprised if Microsoft drops out of this and they are done making consoles. What will happen is the price of a PlayStation will go up by about a third, because what else are you going to buy? And I feel like that's the point where people are going to go over to PCs, or Microsoft will continue to make gaming consoles, but what it'll be is pretty much a PC with a controller. So you'll be able to go out and buy it and have the option, like Game Pass, and then Game Pass PC will become one thing. And what you'll have is the option to buy essentially a computer tower with a keyboard and mouse or a controller or both, and it'll be an Xbox, and it might even just say Xbox on it, but you can swap the parts. So you'll be able to get a new motherboard, you'll be able to get a new graphics card, and it'll be like, hey, if you want to play this game coming out, you have to get this processor. You have to get this motherboard. It only works here. And then eventually there'll be people who put third-party stuff, but you're essentially buying a PC with the Xbox OS, which would be based on whatever Windows is out currently. The analogy that I was getting to earlier is it doesn't matter what you're playing as long as you're playing a video game, as long as you're enjoying yourself, as long as you're having a good time. I love Halo. I've always loved the Halo games. I remember before I had my 360 watching a ton of videos on Halo, to the point where I was playing the story mode and grabbing the skulls first try all the way, like, just because I loved those games. Something about those always felt special. My favorite being Combat Evolved and Reach. 3 is really big to me. Those are kind of my favorites. I'm not saying that's like in any order. Probably Combat Evolved is first, though. There's something about that game that's just special to me. But now people who have never played them are going to get the opportunity to play them on PlayStation. And it's like, you know, who cares, man? Like, I had a conversation with a friend recently, and it was, who cares who you love as long as you love them? You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter if you're a dude and you love women, and all of a sudden a guy shows up in your life and it changes your perception of everything. If you love that, if you love the idea of love, if you love feeling love, then why would you prohibit yourself from feeling that? It's a beautiful thing. You're going to find out things about yourself, the world around you. Like if me playing Halo on PlayStation makes me gay, I'll suck a little cock for John Halo, bro. Like, what else is there to do at this point? Like, if you're really going to sit there and be like, oh, Xbox, oh, PlayStation, oh, I'm 30, oh, I live with my parents, oh, I didn't lose my virginity until I was almost 40. Like, shut the fuck up. We're playing video games. What is this Division bullshit? Just have a good time. And we're in such a special time. I don't think people understand, like, the day I see a Microsoft logo pop up for a big AAA title, because you kind of see it with Minecraft, if I remember correctly, but the day I see, like, Gears 9, Halo 15, some other thing, like Starfield with the Microsoft logo on PlayStation, I bet a lot of you youngsters don't remember, and I barely remember it. I remember it retrospectively because I was there, but I didn't understand it. Seeing a Sega logo on my GameCube, and we're going to talk about Sonic at the end of the show, but seeing Sonic Adventure 2 Battle pop up, that was a Dreamcast game. That was exclusively a Dreamcast game until Sega went under. And now we have Sega as an entity, whether you want to love them or hate them, that is making software. So now we essentially have, you know, things happen in cycles, history repeats itself. We essentially have Microsoft as our generations, you know, millennials a little bit, the younger millennials, because I'm technically a younger millennial, Gen Z, we have our Sega and it's Xbox, it's Microsoft, it's the Dreamcast, it's the Xbox. And it's kind of an exciting time because Microsoft doesn't have great exclusives, but in this way, we might get better exclusives. So here's like the ultimate power play. Microsoft decides within the next 10 years, they're no longer making consoles. They want to have a Game Pass or they're going to do something with their consoles and they want to have a Game Pass on PlayStation, right? PlayStation then buys 343 Studios and then they merge it with Bungie and all of a sudden Halo's good again. And it's exclusive to PlayStation. You won't be able to play it on the Switch, but that's okay. But imagine being able to play Halo Combat Evolved on the Switch. That game came out in 2000 or 2001. And the Switch has technology from about 2012 in it. So, you know, you could honestly play that on the go. It's an exciting time. It sucks to see something go away. I hope my profile never dies because I just got that back. But it's exciting to see that video games have an option to become good. You lose the console war, but you can win the software battles. My 360 got a lot of love. My 360 got a lot of adoration out of me. It's probably I think that was the seventh generation of gaming. The eighth generation kind of sucked. There was a couple games on there I really liked, like The Last of Us 2, God of War 2016. That's really all I can think of off the top of my head. This ninth generation is complete ass. And the only reason I'm really playing anything is because my Series X has backwards compatibility. I don't feel the need for a PlayStation 5. I really don't feel the need for a Series X, but I wanted to play Starfield. And those 30 hours were truly 30 hours. But here we are. Let me know your thoughts and your opinions in the comments below. The console wars might finally be over because Nintendo plays by their own rules. And Sony, let's see what they're going to do. Now, before I get into the meat and the potatoes of Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast, the show that dives into the wreckage of his post-apocalyptia, I would really, really quick like to talk about the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And thank you. I'm just going to say this off the bat. Thank you. I'm already more than halfway to being able to pay for my yearly subscription for the podcasting service. And as soon as that is taken care of, that money is being put into a separate account to be held somewhere safe. And then equipment will be bought to make the production bigger and better. Like I said, big things are always on the horizon. And because of these names that are on screen right now, I am able to do that. So I have to thank some people. If you like the show in any capacity and want to support it, check out the Patreon. There's a link in the description below. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard every week. I ask polls. The polls become part of the show. And if you like the show enough, there is a $10 tier. Now, none of this is mandatory, but there's a $10 tier where for $10 a month, that's less than $3 an episode, if there's four Wednesdays in a month, you get to watch these episodes get recorded live, and you become a producer, essentially, of the show. So because of these names on screen, I have to thank them real quick. Starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Like I said, because of you fellas, you fine folks, I am able to make the show get bigger and better and harder and faster and stronger. And I love you. Thank you. So like I just got done saying with the Patreon segment, every week I ask a lore poll question in the Patreon. Now from the $1 tier to the $10 tier, like I said, your voice is heard. And I sat there and I said, who would I like to talk about today? And I sat there and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it some more. And I came down to two ideas that, I'll be completely honest, I don't remember the second one. I just found the second name. Okay, so it was Brian Wilkes from Fallout 3, a little boy who's just sad that his dad's gone and is trying to figure out the way the world works. A Ranger Andy, a man who's old and is upset because he's still trying to figure out the ways in which the world works. If you would like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, consider checking out the Patreon. There is a link in the description below. Once a week, I ask a question, and from the $1 tier to the $10 tier, you could change your tier at any point time, I will ask a question, your voice is heard, and you, yes, you, have a hand in choosing what this week's lore is. And by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you this week's lore on Brian Wilkes from Fallout 3. Now, before we can talk about Brian, we got to talk a little bit about where Brian's from, we got to talk a little bit about Brian's friends, we got to talk a little bit about Brian's family. Now, Brian is from a town called Greyditch, and pre-war, Greyditch was an affluent town. It was a city with brownstones, apartment buildings, things that were desirable, things that people aspire to have. And then post-war, it's just like every other city. It's in ruins. It's a nice little strip of land with some houses. Half of them aren't even there anymore. Some of them are. One dude had to build his own shack in the town. It's a town where people are just trying to get by. They're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to be able to start their lives, but because of some giant ants and other wildlife around the area, made it difficult. It's not easy when you have mole rats, rad roaches, when you have giant ants that both don't and do spit fire, which we'll get to in a minute, that surround the town. Brian Wilkes and his father were planning to leave after about a year of being in Greyditch because of how dangerous it was. At its peak, as far as we know, as far as documented history from Greyditch is, at its peak, 7 people were the highest its population had ever achieved. Those people being Brian and Fred Wilkes, so the little boy we're about to talk about, and the man who is his father, Fred, William, Sheila, and their son, Will Brandis, who were friends with the Wilkes family. William, the dad, being an ex-Enclave soldier, and the son, Will, who was nice. He was a little older than Brian, but they would share comics, and they would talk about Grognak and other characters from Hubris. It was really like one of the only friends that Brian has ever really had. He's also 8, which I'm going to get into in a little bit, but he's an 8-year-old kid. So, you know, what is there for an 8-year-old other than, okay, my dad's leaving and he's going to go kill some ants and get some supplies. I guess I'll see him later. And then Dr. Weston Lesko, who arrives on November 15th, the day before my birthday, of 2276. Now, the Lone Wanderer leaves the vault August 17th, 2277 at 9:04 a.m. I didn't even know that. I knew it was in August, didn't know the time. Dr. Lesko wants to try to get rid of the giant ants that surround the town and are being a menace, and he decides that he is going to do that with an FEV-based mutagen. The mutagen then causes the ants to be able to breathe fire. What's worse than a spider? 10 spiders? 20 spiders? How about spiders that are on fire? By June of 2277, the giant ants had completely overtaken the town of Greyditch, and everybody but Brian Wilkes and Dr. Lesko are dead because of Dr. Lesko and these giant ants. Now, you can find Fred Wilkes, the father of Brian Wilkes, dead in his home because of the fire and attacks. And from everything I could read on the wiki, and I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will, everything I can read there, everything that I remember from playing, everything that I've played to get the footage for this, Fred seemed like a decent man. He seemed like a guy who really wanted to instill proper respect, proper ideals, proper thoughts, just to raise Brian to be a good young man, a respectable young man, a young man who you'd be proud to be friends with, proud to be around. He was strict, but how else are you going to raise a kid in the wastes? From the way Brian talks about his father, Fred, it seems that they almost had like a friendly relationship, the way he tried to instill this sense of pride. You can ask Brian Wilkes, why don't you just ditch town and run away? And Brian will say, look, my dad used to always say, you can do whatever you want in life, but the family comes first. If I left him now, I'd just be running away. I can't do that. I owe him that. Fred also has a sister. So it's Brian's aunt, but Brian refers to her as his cousin. And again, there's a little bit of a discrepancy on the wiki. Her name is Vera Weatherly, and she's the owner and operator of the Weatherly Hotel in Rivet City. And Fred himself was actually contracted to build the shack that Lesko lives in when he moves to Greyditch. Now, let's talk about Brian Wilkes himself. I've given you the little bit of the preamble about who he is, what he is, where he can go in life, what roadblocks and positive things he has set up for himself. But Brian Wilkes is an 8-year-old and only one of two survivors from Greyditch in the year 2277. Brian is a smart kid, and the relationship he has with his father, like I said prior, is almost that of one of a friendship. Fred trusted him with an extra supply key. They had a dumpster behind the local diner in Greyditch that he would keep some supplies in, and he gave it to Brian. He said, hey, in case of an emergency, you have this. I know that you are smart enough to not give this out, not tell people, but you have this. If anything happens, you have this just in case. He explained to his son how to hide, if need be, in the local Pulowski Preservation Shelter and also in various other spots around town, which we'll talk about shortly. Brian was brought up in a strict way, like I said previously, and almost something that comes off as like borderline abusive. I read it as kind of abusive, but maybe it's just a tough love type thing. Maybe it's Brian's father, Fred, trying to show him to see past bullshit. Maybe it's him trying to say, like, if someone lies to you, you need to be able to see how they are lying to you. That being, if the lone wanderer messes up and asks for Brian's forgiveness, Brian could say, when I was bad, my papa made me apologize 3 times, then decided if I was really sorry or not. You want to talk to me about stuff? Say sorry 3 times, and you better mean it. But even after Fred has died, Brian still respects the man. He respects his teachings. He respects the way he was attempting to bring him up. If you tell Brian that his dad is nothing more than just ant food, Brian will say, you know what you are? You're a big asshole. That's right, an asshole. My papa said never to say that word, but you deserve it. Now what am I going to do? My papa's dead. Poor papa. I think it shows a lot that, you know, this kid is looking death in the face. This kid is looking uncertainty straight into its gaping maw. And yeah, he's 8. Yeah, he's a child. But he still sits there and goes, what would my dad want? What would my father, who taught me everything I know, my best friend, want of me? And, you know, maybe this is me looking a little too deep into it. Maybe this is a little melodramatic, but like, if you have one of your parents, if you don't have any of your parents in your life, when was the last time you really sat down and went, is this what my parents taught me? Is this honorable to my family? Would this make them proud if they heard me say that? And yeah, it's a video game, but like, I don't know, made me think of that. He even tells the Lone Wanderer, he expresses to the Lone Wanderer that they need to take care of the ant problem because he wants to make sure this never happens to another family ever again. I don't know if I've made this abundantly clear talking about Brian, but he's the key figure in the quest Those, which is a reference to a movie from, I believe, the 50s. I've reviewed it on the podcast before, called Them, which is a movie about giant ants attacking. And this is where the inspiration for that has come. And we'll talk a little bit about the quest in a minute. But When the ants attack Lesko, the doctor who mutated the ants with an FEV mutagen took off. He's nowhere to be found. Brian hid under some cars and in the Pulowski Preservation Chamber. And eventually he found his way back to his home and found the body of his father in his old house while looking for food and water. But he was so exhausted, he couldn't even cry. I believe the exact quote is something along the lines of, "I tried, but I'm just too tired to cry anymore." So here's an 8-year-old faced with ant attacks that are 3 times the size of him. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he finds the body of his best friend, the man who has taught him everything, and he just doesn't know how to process it. This is the beginnings of PTSD and a bunch of other disorders for this child. Now, the quest for those, there's a couple different ways you could do it. You could clear out the town, you could find Lesko, you can kill Lesko. I've talked about the quest those before. It's on the YouTube channel. If you're interested, go on, make sure you subscribe, and then just look up those and you'll find it. It's from a while back. The lore is done in like an almost completely different format than from it is now. But once you complete the quest, you have to find what to do with Brian. And this is one of the few times where Fallout 3 really, really, really digs into its world and its storytelling. And you're essentially given 4 separate options at the completion of this quest. One of them being you can find his aunt slash cousin, Vera Weatherly, in Rivet City and ask if she will take him in. This is great because now he lives in a community and has the opportunity to make friends. He makes genuine friends. He becomes part of this community. And hell, let's play with a little headcanon, right? He can grow up to either become the head proprietor of the Weatherly Hotel. Maybe he gets a job working one of the food stands. He works at the chem shop. He gets a job. He gets employment. He's working with Flak and Shrapnel. He's running caravans with the caravanners who come to Rivet City. There's a lot of potential for this kid to grow up and be happy. He has genuine friends here. I even wrote a little smiley face in my notes because it made me happy that he gets some friends after his friends across the street had died. You can take him to Little Lamplight, and MacReady will agree to take him in as long as he pulls his weight. And he's surrounded by kids his own age. He's 8, so he's got a couple years before he's a Mungo, and then he gets shipped off to Big Town. But the caves give him nightmares about the ants. And probably the worst one of them all, you can bring him to Eulogy Jones and sell him into slavery for 100, yes, only 100 caps. Eulogy says that he will bring him in and eventually make him into a breeder. So he is just to continue the livestock that is slavery in the Capital Wasteland. And the Lone Wanderer has to put the slave collar on him personally, himself. He has to put it on, and you can lie to the kid and tell him what Paradise Falls is. Or you can just tell him he's a slave now. Either way, you're a monster. And probably the most depressing and just kind of, like, just whatever ending is you can just dip. You can just leave him there and be like, "See you, kid. Not my problem. I'm out of here." And you just take off, and he just has to live in a Pulowski and then kind of go back and forth from his old house and try to make life work. Presumably, this is how he would die. But no matter what, Three Dog will comment on all 4 of these outcomes. Now, I don't really normally talk about the bugs, but because he's a kid, there's some interesting bugs. And again, I get all my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. So there's some things I'd like to read quick. If Vera Weatherly dies after Brian moves in with her, Brian may appear inside of the Enclave garrison outside of the Jefferson Memorial during Take It Back. Enclave soldiers will be friendly to Brian while the Brotherhood troops are hostile and will open fire on the child. That's on Xbox. On PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, it is possible to find Brian being attacked by other NPCs. Some of them include an Enclave soldier north of the ruined farmhouse and a random encounter outside of the Super Duper Mart. On PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, Brian can be pickpocketed and reverse pickpocketed. This can be used to arm him, giving him a gun or other weapon, and changing his clothing. The player can steal and wear his ragamuffin outfit. Placing an explosive in his inventory merely adds it to his inventory rather than making it a live explosive. Brian Wilkes is very much one of the first kids outside of the Tunnel Snakes or Amata that you meet once you leave the vault, once you become an adult, one of the few things that you actually get, one of the few people, kids, that you actually get to interact with and learn their story. He is an interesting character. I think kids in a post-apocalyptic setting are really interesting. I don't think Brian is what I'd like to call baby bait, where it's like, oh, the world ended, here's a baby, feel bad about it. I think Brian is very much an example of how we overcome. I think Brian is very much a positive story. I really, really enjoy seeing Brian rush up to me every single time I replay Fallout 3, because I know he's always going to be there and he's always going to need someone to help him. And I'm always ready to do that for him. And I hope you guys enjoyed, because that is this week's lore. Hey there, pilgrims. Hey there, partners. How you doing? What's going on? Welcome to segment 3. We're almost out of this one. For some reason, I'm really sweaty. I'm really hot. It's still kind of cold in this Colorado heat. Today, I think it hit about 50-something, and then at night it gets to about 20-something, and this Saturday, supposed to get a high of 32 and a low of 6, something like that. But in the ever-going themes of nostalgia for this year, I just kind of want to gush about this. This behind me should be the logo for Sonic the Movie 3, Sonic 3 the Movie, whatever we're calling it. This logo, this effing logo, this MFN logo right meow right here up in this piece is very much a rip of Sonic Adventure 2, one of my most favorite games of all time. I have a list of games that when I go to Japan, I have to buy. One of them is a Japanese pressing of Fallout 3. If I could find a Japanese pressing of New Vegas, absolutely. I might even get a Japanese pressing of Fallout 4. Who knows? We'll figure out when I get there, right? But I really want to get a Japanese pressing of Sonic Adventure 2 because it is one of my favorite games. I downloaded it again. I bought it years ago on the Xbox Marketplace, and I downloaded it again recently onto my Series X, and I really, really want to play it just for the Chao Garden alone. Now, I don't feel like it's ruining anything if you can see this behind me, but Shadow is in the movie, and it's rumored that the dude who played Anakin in the prequels for Star Wars is going to be voicing him. They hired Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend, Jessica Jones, I don't know her real name, I apologize, to do a voice, and it's most likely Rouge the Bat. Tits the Bat, you peeing all alone in there, handsome? Were you pissing? Or you piss loud as fuck. Or what? How does it go? What are you, frying chicken in there? You piss loud as fuck. I think that's pretty cool. And I think she also might have said, you piss loud. What's your pronouns? That's all like fan shit online. I love Sonic the Hedgehog, man. I love it. I've loved it since I was a kid. I will love it today. I will love it yesterday. And I will love it tomorrow. And I'm so excited to see. Like, I told Kyle when he was sending me these things about, like, this person got hired. Jim Carrey is back. Like, Jim Carrey was one of my favorite actors as a kid, especially Ace Ventura. My dad and I used to quote that at each other all the time. All the time. That and, like, Foghorn Leghorn and Austin Powers, we would quote at each other constantly. And just to see that my two favorite things from childhood, Jim Carrey and Sonic, are coming together and continuing to stay together, even if this is the last Sonic movie, fine. It's gonna suck that there's no Chaos, that there's no Metal Sonic. Maybe that stuff will be talked about in the show. I really think the Knuckles show that they're doing should be like Chaos. And I'm sorry if you guys don't like Sonic, but it's just something very near and dear to my heart. I'm probably going to get a Sonic tattoo at some point in my life. I want to get right above my kneecap. I'm going to show my legs off like I actually wear pants in this. If you watch a podcast and it's them by themselves, or even if they're really close, they are most likely not wearing pants. I have a t-shirt on and my undergarments. I want to get right above my knee a Chao from like that era of Sonic tattooed on me. Like So here's the thing. Kyle sent me all these things, and I was like, Kyle, I don't think I've been this excited for a movie in a very, very, very long time. It just seems like everything I've seen, everything they've been talking about is very much playing into fan speculation. And I don't think it's pandering, but I think it's giving us what we want at the same time, if that makes any sense. And like, I felt like I was going to cry. I was so overwhelmed. I was so happy. And then like that night, I went to the gym and I did my usual workout, and then I go to run. And they're playing Sonic, the first Sonic movie on the TV, and I put on City Escape, and I'm like, ding, 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 and I'm like running, and I'm just like, damn, bro, we're really out here. Like, it's just nice to know that things will come into your life and stay in your life and have a special place for various reasons. I'm just so happy that I get to experience all these things, and I'm just happy that I get to talk about it with you guys every single week. The Sonic movie is going to be bonkers bananas. I'm just going to be so excited for it, man, the whole friggin' time. And I hope you guys are too. I hope you guys are going to, I hope you guys are just, I just, ah, God, I say it every single week, but I just hope you guys are happy. I'm just happy that you guys are here with me. I'm happy that I just feel so good lately. I feel so light and airy. I've also been drinking coffee, which I probably shouldn't do. I don't want to be dependent on any sort of a substance. Why I never started drinking it. It's why I never smoked cigarettes. But I hope you guys enjoyed. This has been this week's episode of Atomic Radio Hour, episode 262. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I don't know. I love you guys. If you would like to check out anything that supports the show, I suggest starting with Shane Ivers. He's the guy who makes the intro music for the show. The intro song is called Feather Duster. There's a link in the description below to his music at silvermansounds.com/free music. All of his stuff is free as long as you credit him. There's also a link to the Patreon, the Discord. Join the Discord. If you can, I'm not saying it's mandatory, but I appreciate it, even the $1 tier, if you can, to support the show a little bit. There's also the Redbubble where you can buy a design that has been created with the show's likeness. There's also a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. I think that's everything, guys. Happy Dilla Day. I hope you guys are happy. I hope you guys are content. I hope you guys are doing things that make you smile. I hope you guys feel love and affection and adoration in your heart. I love you guys so very, very much, and I'll be seeing you next week. Bye, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day, too, maybe? I don't know. Happy, bye, I love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Gulman Entertainment.